Welcome to the Space Show, presented by members of the Space Association of Australia. Hello, I'm Andrew Rennie, and Richard is hard at work, but not on the Space Show tonight. He's earning some money to pay the mortgage, put food on the table, and presumably buy presents for the kiddies. So here I am on my own. So what's on tonight's the Space Show? Well, this evening we have the Roman Space Telescope ready for launch. We turn back time to 1967 and Exoplanet 4000. We'll tell you what that is as we go ahead. And just while I start out here, if you look out towards the west, about 45 degrees up in the sky, you'll see a bright light. Looks like a very bright star. Well, in fact, it's a planet. It's the planet Venus. Now, as the evening goes on, that will settle down lower and lower, but it is one of the highest it will be in the sky this year, certainly. So worthwhile popping out and having a look here on the Space Show. Well, there's a new telescope about to be launched. It's called the Nancy Roman Space Telescope, or just the Roman Space Telescope for short. And we're going to be featuring that on tonight's show, as well as a lot of other things we've just mentioned. Now, what we're going to play is called the Fellowship of the Telescopes. And I need to introduce John Rhys Davies. He's a Welsh actor born in 1944. You may have seen him playing Gimli in The Lord of the Rings and Salia in the Indiana Jones film, as well as dozens of films and television productions and numerous video games such as Dune 2000. Well, these days, he splits his time between homes in the Waikato of New Zealand and the Isle of Man. And he's going to introduce us to our topic tonight, the very, you know, the great space telescopes. Here he is.
A canvas of infinite mysteries. The sky is vast and unyielding. A canvas of infinite mysteries. It has always called to us, leaving whispers of forgotten truths written in the light of distant stars. But light, it seems, is a fleeting thing. Some of it we see, much of it we do not. For a time, we glimpsed the cosmos only as far as our eyes could take us. But now, we have forged instruments of power, telescopes that push past what the ancients could only dream of, revealing the hidden truths of the universe, patiently waiting for us to find them. One stands as a watcher in the void, a sentinel of time, Hubble the steadfast, which has gazed into the deep for more than three decades. Its unblinding eye unraveling the age of galaxies and the dance of dying stars. Beside it, a younger vision, Webb, the seer of shadows. With golden sight, it peers into the dim glow of the earliest worlds, revealing the birth of stars, the breath of distant planets, and the echoes of the universe's first dawn. And there is another on its way. Roman, the deep-sighted, armed with a gaze as broad as the sky itself. It will map the heavens with relentless precision, seeking the unseen forces that shape the cosmos. Yet even these three great sentinels cannot stand alone. Another will arise, a telescope of great purpose that is yet to be built, the Habitable Worlds Observatory. A beacon for those who search the stars for another Earth, and a torchbearer for discovery itself. From the birth of galaxies to the fate of worlds, its gaze will pierce the unknown, revealing the forces that shape the cosmos and the places that others might call home. Each of these instruments, mighty in their own right, wields a unique power. One sees the universe in the piercing clarity of ultraviolet and visible light, another in the ancient glow of heat, another in the vast sweep of the sky, and soon one will rise to seek the light of distant worlds. A group of visionaries, bound together, destined to spread knowledge, to push beyond the darkness, to forge a future where the unknown becomes known. From their posts in the void, they do not speak, but they watch, they reveal. It is the work of countless minds, scientists, engineers, and the dreamers who push the boundaries of what is possible. Their ingenuity forges new frontiers, advancing technology not for conquest, but for understanding. With each discovery, they expand the reach of humanity, proving that even among the infinite, our pursuit of knowledge knows no bounds. And though the road goes ever on and on, though shadows still veil the farthest corners of the sky, the fellowship of the telescopes endures.
Endures it does. That feature, courtesy of the Goddard Space Flight Center, The Fellowship of the Telescopes by John Rhys-Davies. Well, the new telescope he mentioned there, the Roman, Nancy Grace Roman Space Telescope, is now ready for launch. It has arrived at the Kennedy Space Center in Florida.
The Nancy Grace Roman Space Telescope is ready for its epic journey into space. It began as separate pieces across the country. The Planet Imaging Coronagraph in California. The Sky Scanning Main Instrument in Colorado. And the Hubble-sized telescope mirrors in New York. They converged on the Goddard Space Flight Center in Maryland, where skilled crews assembled them along with the rest of the spacecraft parts. The complete observatory was safely bundled into an airtight chariot and made its way from Goddard to the Kennedy Space Center. From there, it will launch on a Falcon Heavy rocket and begin its real adventure.
John Rhys-Davies, announcing the arrival of the Roman Space Telescope at the Kennedy Space Center in Florida. We have now, again, courtesy of the Goddard Space Flight Center, an overview of the telescope. Let's take a listen.
What are dark matter and dark energy? How common are planetary arrangements like our own? And how many planets in our galaxy have the potential to harbor life? The Nancy Grace Roman Space Telescope will help answer these fundamental questions. Each image from its wide-field instrument will have the depth and clarity of Hubble's best, but capture a sky area 100 times larger. The Roman Space Telescope will take the lead in exploring dark energy and dark matter. We only know they exist by their effects on observable matter, yet these two mysterious components make up 95% of the universe. The Roman Space Telescope's powerful 2.4-meter mirror and enormous field of view will also help us in the search for planets beyond our solar system, or exoplanets. To deepen its study of exoplanets, the Roman Space Telescope will house a beyond state-of-the-art coronagraph, that will directly image and analyze Neptune-sized planets in orbits slightly larger than Earth's, a dramatic improvement over current capabilities. The Nancy Grace Roman Space Telescope will help us answer many of the biggest cosmic questions. Roman will be an indispensable part of space science during the next decade and beyond.
As mentioned, the Roman Space Telescope has some notable predecessor, including the Hubble Space Telescope and the James Webb Space Telescope, each of them doing very different but related jobs.
We're the Hubble Space Telescope and the James Webb Telescope, that's me. We're here to tell you about us and what we can see. After decades of planning and research, I was finally finished and launched in 1990 as NASA had wished. I orbit 340 miles above Earth's surface to do my thing. Powered by solar power collected by my two solar-powered wings. I'm the length of a large school bus and weigh as much as two elephants, making more than a million observations while traveling 5 miles per second. I take sharp pictures of objects in the sky, such as galaxies, planets, and stars, and transmit them back to Earth for you to see. Earth's telescopes are blocked by the atmosphere to see light from space. I orbit above this atmosphere to give a clear view of my star chase. My achievements are pinning down the age of the universe, and I discovered two moons of Pluto, Nix, and Hydra, of course. I've helped determine the rate of which the universe is expanding in whole, and discovered nearly every major galaxy is anchored by a black hole. The James Webb Telescope is an infrared space observatory launched in 2021 for space exploration. You see, I'm here to probe the cosmos and uncover the history of the universe from the Big Bang and alien planet formation and much more, of course. I'll take 30 days to travel a million miles to my home that's permanent, orbiting the sun aligned with the Earth to explore space is my intent. When NASA built me, $10 billion was my cost. My impressive primary mirror is 6.5 meters across. It has 18 segments in a honeycomb structure, I say, and I am powered by an onboard solar array. The solar array provides me with 2,000 watts of electrical power and a propulsion system to maintain my observatory orbit by the hour. I have enough propellant on board to last 10 years of operation to give a better understanding of the universe to every nation. I can see 13 billion light years back in time, which is 100 million years after the universe was born. I do refine. We're important because we give a view of space that is clear, orbiting above Earth's foggy atmosphere. We're the Hubble Space Telescope and the James Webb Telescope, that's me. We're here to tell you about us and what we can see.
Julie McEnery is the senior project scientist on the Roman Space Telescope. She works at the Goddard Space Flight Center, and she has all the details about it.
After more than 30 years of observations, Hubble continues to revolutionize our understanding of the universe. But what about what it hasn't yet seen? Most of the sky remains to be explored. And this is where the Nancy Grace Roman Space Telescope comes in. Using the same sensitivity and performance we've come to expect from Hubble, Roman will have a much larger field of view, allowing us to see more of the sky at once. Where Webb goes deep, Roman goes big. It starts with our field of view. At any instant, Roman will see 200 times the amount of sky that Hubble can see. But it's more than that. Roman will move and stop and be ready to take the next image very quickly, so it can survey the sky more than 1,000 times faster than Hubble. To put this into context, a survey that would take Roman 1 month would take a century with Hubble. So Roman doesn't do Hubble science faster. It can address entirely new, ambitious science questions. This leads to extraordinary capabilities. That 1 month of Roman observations could survey the Milky Way, resulting in the detection of over half the stars in our galaxy. Those over 50 billion stars would represent a catalogue of astronomical objects much larger than any in existence today, with just 1 month of Roman observations. Periodically, Roman will turn its sights towards the centre of our galaxy and monitor 200 million stars in a small patch of sky every 15 minutes. But it won't only image millions of stars, it'll discover tens of thousands of new exoplanets. To date, we found around 5,000 planets beyond our solar system. With Roman, we'll find up to 40 times more. Think of this as the largest census we've ever done of other planets in our galaxy. This will not only provide critical information into how planets form, but will also reveal more about the different types of planets that exist around different stars. Such information will not only help us understand the nature of other planets, but also of our own solar system. We'll be able to delve deeper into the unknown, the physical nature of dark matter and dark energy, which drive the evolution and future of our own universe, remain outstanding grand challenges in both physics and astronomy. Addressing these was a prime motivation for Roman. We'll address this in three different ways. Our universe is a very dynamic place that puts on spectacular cosmic displays every second. The problem is that these events happen very quickly and often elude our telescopes. With Roman's panoramic vision, we'll not only catch these events, but see many at once. We'll see tens of thousands of supernovae and use these as markers to track the expansion of our universe. We'll map huge swaths of the sky and find billions of galaxies. We'll measure the shapes of these galaxies and use this to uncover the distribution of dark matter in our universe. And third, by precisely measuring the position and distance of galaxies, we'll be able to create a 3D map of the universe and watch how it changes on large scales over time. These three investigations combined will enable us to study how the structures in our universe, the stars, the galaxies, and clusters of galaxies, grew and evolved. They'll also allow us to measure how our universe has expanded over time. These are the keys that will allow us to unlock the fundamental nature of dark energy and dark matter and the fabric of the universe itself. These studies are even more exciting now. We are seeing hints that our standard model of the universe is incorrect. Roman will be able to confirm this and provide the data needed to explore the new phenomenon. So it's really tremendously exciting. We're likely to go beyond current models and get to explore entirely new phenomenon for the first time. We happen to be the right mission, with the right capabilities, at the right time. What makes me most excited about Roman is the discovery potential. With 2 billion galaxies, we'll have 2,000 objects that are one in a million. We'll be exploring patches of sky over a function of time with exquisite sensitivity. We'll find new things that go bump in the night. I very much hope, and in fact expect, that the most exciting science from Roman will be a surprise. Something we couldn't predict, that will set the stage for the next deeper set of questions about our universe for future missions to address. Roman is being built right now. Over the past few years, we've been busy building and testing Roman hardware. We've installed an astonishing 45 miles of cables, the observatory's nervous system, into the spacecraft structure. We've integrated other critical elements, including the propulsion tanks. We've also installed a deployable high-gain antenna, which will support data transmission rates up to 500 megabits per second. This is much faster than my home internet. And Roman needs to do this wirely from 1 million miles away. We've completed the outer parts of the observatory, including the solar panels and sun shields. We've finished and tested the outer barrel assembly that will ultimately surround the telescope. The wide-field instrument, our primary instrument, has now concluded testing and is awaiting further integration at Goddard. This is the part of the observatory that provides the huge field of view that drives Roman's revolutionary science reach. This instrument is a symbol of our critical partnerships. Engineers from Goddard and BAE Systems have been working side by side to make Roman's wide field of view the best that it can be. BAE enhanced the Goddard design for the instrument, resulting in better sensitivity and more flexible observing options. We'll have a better observatory as a result. Our telescope, built by L3 Harris, has arrived at Goddard and has been integrated into the instrument carrier last month. You should come to the clean room and have a look. It's all there. This coming year will be very exciting as we watch the observatory take shape. We'll assemble the components into the complete Roman observatory and carefully test everything. All the remaining assembly and test will be happening at Goddard, and we'll be taking advantage of all the large integration and test facilities here. Roman development is proceeding on budget and on schedule, and we're looking forward to getting it to the finish line. I really can't start to express how exciting it is to see everything coming together. Every day, we're learning more about just how great this observatory is going to perform. Each NASA astrophysics mission builds on the technology successes of the past. A great example of this is the sensors at the heart of Hubble, Webb, and Roman that produce the great images of the universe we've all come to love. They represent a continuous line of development and innovation, starting in the 90s with the development of the 1K detector in Hubble's WIFC-3, further developed and improved for the 2K detectors in Webb's NIRCam, and finally culminating in the 4K sensors in Roman. Each generation of sensor represented a big leap in performance. With Roman, we start a whole new path of technology development with the Roman coronagraph, which was designed and built at JPL. A coronagraph is a type of instrument that can zero out the light of a bright star so that we can directly image planets and other faint objects beside it. For the Roman coronagraph, I think of this as doing magic with physics. We're taking advantage of the wave properties of light to cancel out the light from the star. To do this magic, we need to have an optical system that can adjust itself to maintain sufficient precision. This will be the first time that this kind of active optics has been used in space, and will set us on a new path for future observatories to do extraordinary new things. Our namesake, Nancy Grace Roman, NASA's first chief astronomer, would be excited not just by how far we have come, but by where we are going. She is widely known as the mother of Hubble. Less well known is that in 1959, she was one of the first people to suggest using a space-based observatory to look at planets around other stars. Dr. Roman felt that such an observatory would be too big and too difficult to be feasible in orbit. But with developments from Hubble, Webb, and soon Roman, this is now within reach.
Speaking 2 years ago, that was Julie McEnery, the senior project scientist for the Roman Space Telescope. And as you heard earlier in the show from John Rhys-Davies, the telescope is now completed and awaiting launch at the Kennedy Space Center. And Julie said there that it was on schedule. In fact, it's actually well ahead of schedule, which is rather unusual for a space project. You're listening to The Space Show.